Are we living in a more peaceful world? The book is called Winning the War on Wars. Professor Joshua Goldstein joins us. He is a professor at the School of International Service at American University. Professor, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
Are we in a more peaceful world or heading that direction?
Absolutely. The big change in the world today is that the big national armies with all their tanks and artillery and planes are not fighting against each other anymore, and this is very new historically. Nowhere in the world are these armies fighting each other. All we have left are civil wars, and they tend to be smaller. So the number of people actually dying in wars now is about a third what it was during the Cold War years, and that's real progress, although a lot of problems remain, obviously.
Yeah, it does seem like we hear stories of violence taking place, but the idea of a traditional army, especially a war like World War II or even the Korean War, that kind of thing seems like a thing of the past.
Absolutely, and those are the wars that have been so terrible in the past. And we forget about how bad the past was, and we focus, as maybe we should, on the terrible things that are still going on today. But, you know, we could wail about all the terrible wars going on, or we could figure out what's working. Like, if you had cancer, you could lie in bed and say, oh, it's terrible, I have cancer. Or you could get down to your doctor and figure out which treatments are working. We got some treatments now that are working in the world. The United Nations is working, peacekeeping is working, and we're making some progress. So we need to focus on the things that are working and double down and keep doing those things, and we might make more progress.
Do you think it was a lesson, the lessons we took away from those wars that changed our attitudes, or is just we're evolving in our thinking?
Well, I think there's three big things. One is our attitudes are changing. So violence and war used to be cool, and we just don't see it that way anymore. That's partly the world wars at work. Another is that prosperity and interdependence has changed the world, where conquering land doesn't get you wealth anymore. Trade gets you wealth, so war doesn't work very well for that. And then the third thing is the United Nations and peacekeeping. We've learned how to do these things, and they're more effective. So even in the 1990s, half of the ceasefires in the world broke down, and the war started again. But now that's down to just a little more than 10% breakdown, so we're making a lot of progress when we do try to end wars, of making it stick.
Well, you know, I think, too, in a peace agreement, I've always heard this said about a business contract, it's only as good as the people who sign it. I would imagine the same is true of a peace agreement.
Well, that's true, and there's a dilemma, because when one side is supposed to disarm, the other side can come in and massacre them. But if you bring in peacekeepers, that puts the security around that situation to let everybody follow through on the agreement. And, you know, peacekeeping is cheap. The average American household spends about $700 a month on our military and only $2 a month on UN peacekeeping. So this is a real bargain. It does us a lot of good. And yet there's a bill in Congress right now that would cut off our funding for peacekeeping. That would be a terrible idea.
Do you think there's going to come a time when that we could be comfortable and feel comfortable and safe with smaller military expenditures, or just a smaller military in general?
Well, yes, we're clearly heading in that direction as our own wars are winding down that we've been in for the last decade. Our military spending now, the U.S., is about a third higher than during the Cold War, and yet we're much safer than we were during the Cold War. So we're clearly heading for some sizable cuts in military spending.
You know, one of the weapons, too, that's been on the scene for so long, nuclear weapons, it's almost to the point now where you think the only time you'll ever see one of those used would be by a terrorist organization. But as far as nations who have them, there just doesn't seem to be a scenario where it would be acceptable.
Well, that's right. When I was a kid, we used to hide our heads under the desk to get ready for blowing up the world. There were tens of thousands of these things on both sides. But now, in the last 30 years, we've reduced those arsenals by three quarters. That's a historic development. And, of course, we still have too many of them, but we've got a new treaty that will reduce them further. And you're right, it's unthinkable we're really going to use those in a real war.
If we could only just continue the idea of winning the war on war, if we could get everybody on the same page on that, there's always going to be a nation out there, a North Korea or an Iran or somebody out there who's going to say, you know what, we want something you have, or we just want the glory.
Well, and we still have a lot of problems in the world. There's potential wars, there's real wars, so the work's not done. But there are not that many civil wars going on or that many rogue states out there that we can't think about really pushing this progress forward. I'm not saying world peace, no violence in the world, or anything like that. But going from where we are today, which is better than in the past, and pushing it forward into the future, we could make more progress and have even fewer wars, less need for military spending, and use some of that money for other purposes.
The book is called Winning the War on Wars. Professor Joshua Goldstein with us on America's Radio News. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's at winningthewaronwar.com if you want more information.
All right. Appreciate it.